Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Aaron's Podcast, episode 148. It's Tuesday, March 24th, 2009. Welcome to day two of the anniversary week extravaganza. Whatever. Of course, tomorrow is a Two Political podcast, and then I have, I'll be back on Thursday with an Aaron's podcast, and Friday is my second anniversary podcast, for which you still have time to get me a message. I received another one today by email. Thank you very much. The person knows who it is. But it will be a surprise to the rest of you. I've seen that one of the advantages of doing a daily podcast is that I can update things I've just talked about. And I have that opportunity today, which actually sort of gave me the idea of talking about food, specifically the kinds of things that New Zealanders eat. And you may have noticed that there's been a bit of a theme lately where I'm talking about really pretty minor stuff. However, it's stuff that most people would never think to ask about. And it's even, some of it is even stuff that you may not necessarily know if you were to come to New Zealand as a tourist. And so my goal with all these things is to share some of the more minute details of what it's like living here, the sorts of things you won't find in a book or a magazine or even a website probably, but it's the sort of things that your old buddy Arthur will tell you. But first, I have some updates on some things I've talked about in the past. Yesterday, after I recorded, I heard that the government has decided to dump Section 92A of the Copyright Act. Now, you may remember my talking about this before, or you may have seen it somewhere on the web, but there was a blackout campaign designed to help stop the implementation of the law. And what people did is they blacked out their icons on Twitter or on Facebook. MySpace doesn't allow that. Or they blacked out their web pages on the actual day of the protest, which was way back at the end of February. And way back. That seems like a long time ago. Anyway, and the protest was due to sort of climax at the time, just before the bill was to take effect at the end of February. Now, for a bit of a refresher, this bill would have criminalized a lot of online behavior, specifically alleged copyright infringement by allegedly downloading copyrighted material, songs, movies, what have you. The problem was that, as written, the law was widely interpreted as requiring guilt upon accusation, meaning all that a copyright holder had to do was say that a person had violated copyright and the ISP would be required to cut off their internet connection. There was no right of appeal built into the law, no mechanism for how this was all going to work. It was a really bad law. And so this, at the time that before the campaign launched, or just as it was launching, the ministers who were responsible for all of these areas said, well, let's just let it take effect and see what happens. We'll clean it up later if we have to. And one of them had in Parliament, when the law was being debated, said it was a terrible law. That was when he was in opposition. Now he's in government. He wants to protect it. The Prime Minister claimed he didn't know anything about it. Well, then this protest got started, and it got the attention of the government, partly because it picked up international media attention, thanks in part to Stephen Fry blacking out his icon on Twitter and calling attention to it worldwide. Well, as a result, the government announced that it was delaying implementation till the end of March to give the internet service providers an opportunity to come up with a code of practice. They never did. As a matter of fact, one of the telecommunications company, Telstra Clear, which is the New Zealand subsidiary of Australian company Telstra, pulled out of the negotiations altogether, saying that it was unworkable and they couldn't do it. After that, or about that same time, actually, the leader of the Neoconservative ACT Party announced that he was going to work to repeal the law, and he's a coalition partner with the National Party, which is the party of government. And then a couple days later, the leader, the one-man party, United Future, announced that he was also going to work to repeal the law, saying it was bad law. And he was another coalition partner for National. Google also announced that it was opposed to the law. So add all this together, and it was obvious what was going to happen. And yesterday, the Prime Minister announced that they were scrapping the law entirely. They're going back to the drawing boards to try to come up with a new and workable law. This is very good news indeed. Part of the problem with the law is that it was being dictated by the U.S., or I think, to be honest, it was being dictated by people's perceptions of what the U.S. wants. New Zealand desperately wants a free trade agreement with the United States. I have reasons why I think that's a bad idea, and I can talk about that another time. But essentially, they were trying to make the copyright law what would please Hollywood and the music industry in the U.S. And they ended up forgetting that they have to, first and foremost, look after the interests of the citizens of New Zealand. And the citizens of New Zealand weren't happy about what they were doing and forced the government to back down. I've blogged about all of this on my blog, airmen.blogspot.com, if you want to know more. But the important thing to know is that the battle is won. And so all of you who supported us in our fight to have this law overturned, thank you very much. It was successful. Now we just have to make sure that the new law is better. But speaking of the prime minister, he also said yesterday, I think it was yesterday or day before, that New Zealand will be out of recession by the end of the year. And what he means by that is that our final quarter of negative growth, zero negative growth, will be this year. And then early in 2010, the country will experience moderate growth. And into 2011, that the country will have strong growth, which would be convenient for him because 2011 is an election year. And I'm sure he would love to have the economy booming again by then. But I think that might be a wee bit optimistic because a lot of it depends on how successful the U.S. is in fixing its economic problems. I mean, so much of the world depends on the U.S. fixing its economic problems. And, of course, we're certainly no different in that. However, two banks, well, it's actually one bank, it's an Australian company that owns two of our main banks, announced that it was raising the fixed interest rates for mortgages. Most New Zealanders' mortgages are fixed term. It's just what New Zealanders like. They generally don't have floating terms. They don't have floating rates, rather. They generally don't have anything like that. And I'm not really sure why. It's just the way things are. But anyway, so far that isn't being widely followed, but we'll see what happens. They say that it has something to do with more demands for deposits or something. I don't really understand their rationale. But our discount rate, which is similar to the Fed's discount rate, is at a record low. So it's, I think, a sort of an indicator that there's very little that New Zealand can do to influence these global economic trends. But in the past, I've also talked about New Zealand workers and how they get 4 weeks annual leave per year. The previous Labour-led government put that in, and the current National-led government isn't going to overturn that, at least not yet. But what they've announced that they're planning on doing is changing the law to allow workers to sell 1 week of their annual leave back to their employer. Now, I think that this is a terrible idea for a lot of reasons, and I've blogged about this too. But the main problem I have is the prime minister says that only the employee can ask for that, the business can't. But knowing how many businesses work, they could put pressure on workers to do that. And I don't like that idea, and I'm also concerned that National may be trying to soften up the public for taking away the requirement for a fourth week. And I explain why on my blog. But the main thing is that it really doesn't change the essential law, which is that all full-time workers in New Zealand are entitled to 4 weeks annual leave per year. Whether or not they have the opportunity to sell a week back to their employer or not remains to be seen because that law isn't written yet. They just announced an intention to do so. And I will keep an eye on that, and I will certainly say something if it looks like it's not going to be going very well. But next I'm going to talk a bit about food. Yesterday I talked about Mr. Cheese, the cheese in a can, and as it happens, this morning they were talking about that on Breakfast, which is the morning program on TVNZ, on TV1. And I don't know if I would be very happy if I were the marketers of that product, because they were clearly just playing with it. One of the hosts, Paul Henry, was taking these things called saveloys, they're little sausages, and with a stick poking a hole in it and then filling them with cheese. And he thought that was hilarious because he made sure it oozed out all over the place. The newsreader was coerced to join them on the sofa for this section of it. And he refused to eat it. He said it was foul. He said it was disgusting. It was fake and all these other things. Turns out it's 35% cheese in the can, and the rest is made up of other things, especially whey and other chemicals. A lot of salt, apparently. Sugar as well, apparently. I still haven't seen the product myself, so I don't even know where it comes from. But I can probably guess. Be that as it may. One of the things I thought was especially funny about the segment is they were meant to be sitting down and talking with a nutritionist who was going to talk about the cheese and how you shouldn't have it all the time and you really shouldn't have it in your fridge because if you do, you'll be tempted to use it and it's too high in salt and fat and blah, blah, blah. Only she couldn't make it in today because she was up all night vomiting. I'm sorry, but when a nutritionist gets in a state like that, I just think it's funny. I shouldn't. I know. I feel terrible. I'm very ashamed of myself, but it was funny. But anyway, they interviewed her over the phone, as it happens. And that's why they had these extras come onto the sofa with them. I think a floor manager, producer, whatever she is, I don't know, came on as well. And a couple of them actually tried it. They were game. And Paul Henry actually said one of them tasted really good. But it was a segment that lasted about 5 or 6 minutes, and it wasn't exactly positive publicity. But on the subject of food in general, for the most part, what you would find in New Zealand is the sort of stuff you would find in most other Western countries, and actually a few Eastern countries as well. There is a long history of Indian food in New Zealand and various Asian foods, especially Thai, but also Malaysian and Vietnamese and various regions in China, Japanese as well, which is, of course, one of our favorites. And there is not much in the way of European food as such. There are the occasional French restaurants or the occasional, well, that's about it, really. There aren't many Mexican restaurants in New Zealand. I think there's one or two in Auckland. I know that there's at least one in Wellington. And Italian restaurants aren't all that big here. When New Zealanders think of ethnic food, they think of Thai or Japanese, or Indian, or maybe even a region of India. European food to them is not exotic. It's not ethnic or anything like that. It's just sort of ordinary. And so that could be why there aren't that many restaurants. The only thing that comes close to passing for an Italian restaurant might be a pizza joint or a place that sells, you know, pizza and pasta, that kind of thing. And that's about as far as it goes. But you will find the major American fast food chains here, Burger King, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Wendy's in Auckland. Actually, Burger King is primarily Upper North Island. And then Denny's has a few restaurants around. And that's really about it. The Starbucks is here. Gloria Jean's is here, although it's franchised out of Australia, and I never go there because they're homophobic. That's a whole other story. And I've blogged about that too, actually. email me if you want to know more details. But anyway, people don't do fast food as much as maybe other places do. However, there is a tradition of Friday night fish and chips, which is usually, well, I should say it's often fresh fish, but it's sometimes frozen, which is battered and deep fried. And the chips, which are French fries, are also deep fried. Now, we do not generally have them with malt vinegar, as you will often find in Britain. Or lemon, although sometimes the fish will come with lemon. It's generally just salt, and it's eaten with tomato sauce, which I grew up calling ketchup. And that's about it. Now, of course, these places that make it, we usually call them fish and chip shops or a takeaway bar. They usually sell other things as well, hamburgers. What they call hot dogs are closest to corn dogs in the U.S. They're a sausage on a stick, which is dipped in batter and deep fried. It's not particularly appealing to me, but it's quite popular here. And then also toasted sandwiches, which are similar to what I grew up calling grilled cheese. They might have chicken and cheese or beef and cheese or cheese or egg and, I don't know, all kinds of other things. And they're put on a hot plate, much like a grilled cheese sandwich was in America. Then serve that. They're very greasy, of course. But there are plenty of other things as well. Oh, Subway. I forgot to mention Subway is here. There are a few other more local fast food places. Like there's a place called Jester's, which sells pies of a certain kind. They're okay. And there's a few homegrown chains. There's Hell Pizza, which is actually now owned by the same company that owns Burger King, I believe it is, here in New Zealand, the master franchise. And then there's also Burger Wisconsin, which I've never been to, so I don't really know anything about it, but it's another gourmet burger place. I should have said first, there is Burger Fuel. And that's, yeah, see, then Burger Wisconsin is the other one to that, you see. Anyway, Burger Fuel is very good, but I have noticed that they have cut back on the size of the stuff that they provide, the number of chips they give you in an order of chips. So apparently the times are getting tough for them as well. But at home, people will eat a variety of things. And if they go out to a real restaurant or cafe, they will eat a variety of things. Here in Auckland, because we're the world's largest Polynesian city, so there's an influence of the Pacific Islands in a lot of what people eat, tropical fruit and things like that. But we also have influences from Asia and Australia and the U.S. and sort of all mishmashed together. Sometimes it's called Pacific fusion. It's called all kinds of different things. And that is popular. But if people are just having a basic, ordinary meal, they have really simple things. And very often, it's derived originally from British menus, or British meals, rather. But I mean, like, roast meals are quite popular, roast beef, roast lamb, possibly ham, roast chicken especially, with vegetables roasted as well, potatoes and so on. In the olden days, this is long before my time, it was quite common for people to have every night meat and three veg, and one of those veggies would be potatoes. That's not as common anymore. People are avoiding potatoes for the carbs, much as they might in the U.S., although the zero-carb thing never caught on here. All the same, they do try to avoid having too many potatoes, so they might have other vegetables instead. And the nutrition people keep trying to push five plus a day, or maybe it's more than that now, I don't know. Anyway, fruit and veggies. And so they try to, now they're trying to say people should have half their evening meal should be vegetables. Well, yeah, whatever. But seafood in New Zealand is huge, as you might imagine, for an island nation. It's very similar to things you might find in the Americas or Europe, except that what we in America would call lobster is called crayfish here. It's about the same size, and they don't have claws. But other things are here as well. Deep sea fish, less deep sea fish, snapper is huge. I'm not a big fan of seafood, personally, partly probably because I didn't grow up with it. Living in the middle of a continent, it wasn't easy to get. And I'm not supposed to eat any shellfish because of gout. So, you know, I don't really take much advantage of that. Most of our best lamb is exported to other countries, particularly Britain and the U.S. And what we get here is sort of like second quality. It's still very good, don't get me wrong. But it's not the export quality necessarily. A lot of cheese is produced in New Zealand as well. But getting back to what people typically have, they'll typically still have some sort of meat dish with vegetables as well. Vegetarianism is here, of course, obviously, but it's not a big deal. It's not a major movement as such. It's not, you won't find vegetarian restaurants on every corner. Well, you don't in most American cities either, for that matter. But it's not that easy to find vegetarian menu options. Mainstream restaurants or cafes, it's not easy to find vegetarian restaurants. It's not as widely accepted as it should be. And I suspect that probably comes from the fact that New Zealand's whole society and culture is built on sheep and lamb. Sorry, sheep and beef. And that, as much as anything, and seafood, of course, that's probably why vegetarianism is not really widely done here. But that kind of, oh, and I should probably talk about desserts. English-style puddings are quite popular. People have sponge, which is basically sort of a yellow cake with some sort of addition. Pouring custard is quite common. Custard will be poured over desserts, or sometimes just liquid cream, not whipped, but just liquid. So it's really different. It's kind of varied. And that's sort of the greatest hits of the food that I wanted to tell you about, because it isn't all that different from the U.S., or what I grew up with anyway, but it is slightly different. And that's really all I wanted to point out about it. If you have any specific questions that you want to know about food, by all means ask me, and I will do my best to answer them. But that's pretty much it for today. As I said, I'll be back tomorrow with the Too Political podcast, and then I'll be back on Thursday with another Amrens podcast, and of course Friday as well. And Friday is my 2-year anniversary podcast. If you want to send me a greeting for the anniversary, you can always send an email that I can read on the podcast. You can send it to Arthur, Arthur, at amrenspodcast.com. And of course, you can always send an MP3 file to that address, or you can ring the listener line on 206-666-5172. See you tomorrow. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's Arthur, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.